AAC meeting, July 11, 2016.
Good afternoon. I'm Austin Corporate Practice Subcommittee Chair from EG County Capital Heights.
It's not. I get a picture when I have it for work.
This is Roland.
My name is Suzanne Campbell, and I'm from Arlington, Virginia. Will you have a photo of the board, Mr. Chee? This is Randall Pope, and I'm from Silver Spring.
I'm Will Schiff. I'm from Prince George's County.
Craig Roth, Metro Access.
Philippe Michelle, Northwest DC.
Mary Jane McMahon, Washington DC.
Steve Catherine, Northwest Washington DC.
Captain Benedict, Jeff Fisher.
Phil Poser, Arlington, Virginia.
Garth, Greg, Fair Patch, coming to the training, representing the Access for All Committee of the Transportation Planning Board, Washington Council.
Yes, sir.
The system, this system is the volume of money is too low. There's not enough food. And also, I didn't hear who was here because the meeting went on without waiting until the system was working.
We're going to reintroduce everybody for you, Doris, once we're settled. Go ahead and just work on the phone, please. And Mr. Chairman, before we move on, so Doris, are you hearing me? Are you hearing me, Doris?
Yes.
Okay. So, Mr. Chairman, before we move on, can I just quickly announce that we have a special guest joining us tonight? And that's Ms. Carol Carmody. She's the newest member of our board, a federal appointee to the board, and has been appointed for a little over a month. And she's here to observe and hear our conversation tonight and the things that we discuss. So please, let's welcome Board Member Carmody.
Welcome. Welcome, Carol.
Thank you, Mr. May, and welcome to join us here at this meeting, please. I see, Doris, are you listening now, Doris? Are you? Thank you. We are going to move now with review and approval of the agenda.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, please, Mr. Posner.
I'd like to make a suggestion for the agenda. In the last week, we were notified in the press that there have been about 500 positions removed from WMATA, most of them being vacant positions, and they did twist them in place. And I'd like to ask that we discuss if any of them were in ADAT, and if any of them will have Metro Access for the disability community.
Delay the point, because I can tell you, right now, yes, the general manager did announce a plan that would remove 500 positions here at Metro. The Department of Access Services, we have discussed how we would respond to that request, our part of it. But nothing is official at this moment yet, so without an extended conversation where we'd be no answers at this moment, we would just say that the Department of Access Services, like all others in the agency, we're looking at ways to ensure the sustainability of the overall agency, and we're doing our part. And once a decision or decisions within Access Services is made, this committee is certainly the first to know.
Thank you. I ask particularly because I worry about the ombudsman position, since Mr. Stevens is recently retired and has an open position. It's actually a really important position to this community.
Yes, sir. Clear on that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We don't have to change the agenda.
Thank you, Mr. Moser.
When I prepared the agenda, my machine ran into me. It's the right date over there? Because it says the 18th, doesn't it?
You're looking at the Metro Access Subcommittee agenda, which I believe you're also the vice chair of. But now today is the 11th because we canceled the meeting, we postponed last week's meeting and moved the full committee to tonight.
Yeah, but when my machine went into me, it has the 18th as the agenda for the 18th.
Oh, I apologize, okay. Dr. Beaton,
well, it might not be that on there, I don't know.
No, on the printed versions, it's Monday, July 11th.
And the same on Monday?
Yes.
We want to have one change and be able to discuss the article that was in the Washington Post. Wants to discuss that, so we need to make room on the agenda for that. Is that okay? If we amend the agenda some?
I don't have any objection, and I think that would be a yes.
I'll second that motion.
Thank you, Mrs. Shorman.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those who oppose?
So the motion carries.
I have a question on my agenda also, Mr. Chairman. It's my understanding, Mr. Blake, that we are supposed to discuss the recommendation of the Village of Ryan on this meeting, but I see it on the 18th. It's proposed. Why are we not in the agenda of this meeting? The last meeting, I thought that was for the discussion of the AAC meeting, not in the subcommittee meeting.
What I can offer is a friendly amendment that we could discuss it tonight in lieu of my report, which will probably be all but 2 minutes, since I've got a lot of some time here, if that would work with everyone.
Well, I don't know about 2 minutes, but because we're only going to have an hour apiece for the subcommittees, we need to fit in Tappan's suggestion. Which we already decided to do, but because things were changed around, we're going to have less time for the Metro Access meeting.
Well, our people will be here for 18 weeks.
Yes.
Well, Mr. Chair, this would be what we can do is start the discussion now, and members can discuss it online. By the time we get to the 18th, we will have what will be the final document. I also want to ask just separately, Doris, are you clear? Can you hear clearly, Doris?
No, not everyone.
Okay, IT is here, Doris.
IT is
here.
Okay, Doris, so we have the two gentlemen here. I think the challenge right now is the listening device is working, but the volume is feeding into the listening device.
Some people are either not talking into the listening device.
Okay, so we would ask everybody to please speak clearly into your mic, and you can adjust the volume that's feeding into the listening device. Not the device itself, but the primary volume. Thank you, I appreciate it.
Folks, we were under review and approval of the agenda. We did some changes, so the agenda has been approved. So now we are in the transition with the chair. He just arrived, so he will take it from now on. So please be with us for 1 more minute. Thank you. All right, sorry about being late, but we made it work.
Let's work a few minutes.
Yes, sir.
Do I have any additions or corrections to the minutes?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Doris.
I have I marked up a copy of the minutes. It was quite long. I had a couple of typos in there, but majorly what I commented on were any additions had to do with things that I said during the meeting were not recorded, and therefore I would like those included.
Mr. Chair, I have a copy of the edits that Ms. Ray is requesting to be included into the minutes. As she pointed out, they are specifically related to comments she made. I will ask Dr. B to update the minutes per these notes that are basically Ms. Ray's comments and clarification of what she stated during the meeting. We will send them out electronically for your approval.
All right, very good. Thank you. Any other additions to the minutes? All right, so let's see. What's that?
I move approval.
You move approval?
I move approval.
Okay.
With the addition.
Good, thanks. That's what I said.
Second.
Okay, great. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Those abstaining?
Okay.
Very good. Board report is next. Do I hear a motion to approve the board report?
Mr. Chair.
Sir.
As you know, I will always have a comment on the board report.
Good.
I think it's a great report, and you did a lot of great things this past month. But in concert with Ms. Rush's request to discuss that article in the Washington Post today about SafeTrack, one of the things that I think we might want to consider putting in this letter is something that was stated in that article from somebody not on this committee, and that is safety signage. It is something that this committee has addressed for a long time. They changed the emergency safety signage about 2 years ago, and they removed wheelchairs and replaced them with bulky packages. They have a direction on how to use the intercom system without telling anybody where the intercom system is. They tell you where the fire extinguisher is, but they don't tell you where the intercom system is. And in some cars, it's at the center door, in some cars, it's at the end doors. Depends on what model train you're on. The instructions for using the intercom system are incredibly confusing. They stay in one place in order to call and push the button. In another place it says, do not hold the button down. And it's not clear whether when we talk we should be having the button held down or whether we just do that for the work. So I think since we're talking about SafeTrack and we're talking about other safety issues, I think we should put in a comment about the need to review those safety posters. In addition to that, since we're an accessibility committee, the posters that are there are in large print, they're very nice, but they're not elevated print or engraved, so that you can't read them, Ms. Rush can't read them, and a good number of the people that use the rail system cannot use them. So I would suggest putting in a paragraph under SafeTrack requesting that in addition to all the things they're doing, which are great for the rail and for fires and for electricity, that they do something about the signage.
All right, so you have a couple of suggestions there concerning the intercom, concerning the posters.
Basically the signage, that's the posters. And the signage needs to be more clear as to where the intercoms are, how to use the intercoms, what should people in wheelchairs do in an emergency? They tell people if the car is unsafe, go to another car. How does somebody in a wheelchair go from car to car?
Okay. I think that can be accomplished. Good. Okay. Paul? only thing, I see it points number six on the AEC accomplishments about alternative transportation programs. There is a draft letter that is ready for the committees. We'll start discussion tonight during my time period about the lease runs, which we prepared for the next week, once we end that discussion.
Okay.
So I just want to make sure that's emphasized that the AEC will have a position on it now and next week.
Very good. Okay. Any other additions to the board report? Motion to.
I'd like to augment the point that Dr. President made by saying that I think it's important to say that whether in a train
or in a station, even more importantly, just as important. As a blind person, given my experience, that I have no idea where the intercoms and the emergency phones are, and they need to do something about that. And the chair might remember that some time ago, this committee requested that the signage on the emergency phones in the station be tackled and be provided in colors that were provided sufficient contrast, but staff back then said no, they have to be red and white because people who are sighted think of red and white as being an emergency, so we can't have a reverse, a negative step or reverse. So I would like to augment the fact that many people, even with residual vision or low vision, can't find them.
All right.
Yes, I am.
Okay. Thank you.
I remove the report.
Good. Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
All with amendments, right?
Yep.
All those approving the report as amended signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Those abstaining. All right, very good. Thank you. Public comment period.
Mr. Chair, we only have one person for the two people for the public comment period. And I have Mr. Posner here. You already said about the emergency. Okay, that one's over already. And I have another person here, which is McKinley. We are going to give the microphone. McKinley.
Hi, my name is Alfreda McKinley, and I started Ronnie Metro Access last January. Since then, I have filed several complaints, but recently in May, two incidents occurred while I was at the Walmart Clinton, and I found out that Where Is My Ride are the ones who are changing me, putting me on other drivers' manifest, and causing me to actually be left and having to cause me additional expense to get home. On the 27th, they left me, period. They changed me, put me on someone else's manifest, did not tell me. The driver picked up a lady who was there. She was also left. All right, her driver didn't show, and she was a paraplegic. So when they put me on this driver's manifest and showed up to pick up an employee, actually at Walmart, I couldn't get on. And eventually, they just left me, and I had to pay someone to take me home. On the 10th, the same thing happened, but when they switched me to another manifest, because I came out, when I got my call, the driver was there, but she said she put me down as a no-show. When I tried to get the driver to wait so I could call Metro Access to find out what was going on, the driver left. When I called Metro Access, Where Is My Ride? That's when I started realizing that Where Is My Ride are changing. and adding you to drivers who probably don't have any place else to go. But fortunately enough, on the 10th, the driver whose manifest I was originally on, he was free, he came to get me. But the 27th, if it wasn't for me paying someone to get home, I would probably still be in front of Walmart and Clinton waiting for where's my ride.
That you meant a long spot that
yes, sir.
Thank you, ma'am, for your comments. I'm sorry to hear about your incident. I'm here on the Metro Access Subcommittee Chair. There's Metro Access staff here. I'm sure they have already hopefully approached you and will do the investigation and follow up with your issue. And hopefully we'll resolve it.
I do not have any other public comment unless somebody wants to say additionally. Mr. Chair, I have Doris here, and I think, please, Doris, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for the opportunity to give public comment. What I wanted to note to you is one that I have received comments. From travelers about consumers in Northern Virginia and the disruption to their schedules having during the safe crack having to come from places like Huntington and go into the district and then come back out to go out on the orange line and to do vice versa. Also, I experienced that, and in some cases had to pay for taxi cab rides to get over to either try to get a bus at Pentagon to go out to Daly or just making the ride out there in a cab. So I'm hoping that as this plan goes forward, it was the last our meeting, it was made clear by Mr. Henry that they would not be providing a shuttle, for example, from Roslyn to Arlington Cemetery, or at least as I did to just to Pentagon or Pentagon City. And the people in South Arlington, the working class, low and moderate income people in South Arlington who have to come over to North Arlington or Fairfax County to work, they're the ones who got inconvenienced. Second, I want to mention, and so I think that's wrong, and I don't think that that should happen as the thing proceeds. And the second, when it was so easy to have a shuttle from Roslyn to Arlington Center or Pentagon City, and the second thing I want to mention is tonight while I was coming here and yesterday in particular, I was at Courthouse and at the inbound train, the platform lights at rest waiting for a train to come were not on at all for the inbound side, and on the other side they were on, but there were big gaps where lights were out. I mean out, not in. And at Pentagon itself, on the lower track where I got off, there was no platform, there were no platform lights flashing when I got off, nor were there any when the train left the station. So I think that, as you said, this is like this ADA matter and not just a talk matter of quality.
Okay.
If they're going to be all.
Thank you, Doris. So, Mr. Blake, if we could check on those lights, particularly since I need to report on lighting at board meetings.
Right. Yeah, these are the platform lights at the overhead. Yes,
right.
These have been reported on my gut in initial. So maybe there's a technical problem there because we did get an initial response to the original complaint about this. They were fixed, and I'm hearing that they're back out. So I'm going to report it back to our plant team and figure out what's going on with the signal or the system down at the Pentagon station.
Good, thank you. I appreciate you following up.
And they're both red light stations.
Yeah.
Okay, excellent. Good, thank you.
Mr. Chair,
hang on. No. All right. next?
I have a couple of comments. I have a public comment from a customer who's only been riding about 3 months, and she has had too many incidents. And she sent me a documentation of some of her incidents. And Friday, we talked with Jen Weber. This morning, we talked with Jen, and I hope we can get her Metro Access problems resolved, since she's a new customer and we don't want it to continue. So this is her documentation, whoever's going to take it. I have a copy, so I know that I gave it to someone.
Yes. Ms. Russ, is this problem with Metro Access running or with Bus Railroad?
This is Metro Access.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Denise. I was just catching up on a couple of agenda items that are new agenda items. Thank you. AAC administrative process meeting. Will you want to talk about that?
Well, Mr. Chairman, she stepped out of the room, but the members, as you pointed out, brought two issues that they want to bring. We can talk about the administrative process, I believe, at the end. I think we want to utilize the time that you have and discuss the issues that your committee members have suggested today, which is the safety issues and the alternatives to Metro Access issues. So we want to go to those first and then come back at the end to the administrative matters.
Okay, why don't we go over safety issues first? Denise, can you bring that up?
Mr. Black, well, all of us really want to talk about the article in the Washington Post, plus the safety with fast track issues.
Okay, we'd like to start off, since I didn't read that article. Anybody want to summarize that for the rest of the
I'll start off since I sent it to everyone. I just thought it was an interesting article, and that it shows that a lot of people are really frightened of riding the Metro, especially if they have disabilities. And a lot of them feel they have no options. If they have options, as Mary Jane Owen expressed in there, she'll ride a circulator. But I think Thomas Mangum was saying how he felt he had no option. He has to do it because he has to get out of the theater. And I think that that's a major issue that we're going to have to deal with in terms of, I guess a lot of people may be frightened, but people with disabilities are particularly frightened. And Denise Rush was quoted in the article as well, but I'll have to deal with that.
Okay. But yeah, I did hear actually a news report on that. Brianna.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciated you sending out the article. I read it immediately when you when I got here in town, and I read it thoroughly. And it really appreciated the water making sure that he or she, I don't remember who put the word that wrote it, but they were very thorough in making sure they captured all of the majority of the point that we've been trying to cover in the AAC for the last few years. And I was especially impressed that even though only one sentence, he still mentioned that we were trying to improve communication inclusion for the deaf and hard of hearing population. And so I was really impressed by that. I actually emphasized that it was from March 2013. Which means, you know, that there's been an ongoing discussion that has not really been a lot of action on. So you feel that's only one subject. I really appreciated that the reporter captured the majority of the points that we were trying to bring forth with the AAC. So I appreciated the article.
Okay, I just read it, but I didn't remember what I read half of it.
And my one, so I only read half of it, and I didn't get to the end. I got to about the point where they were quoting Dennis Butler. The one thing that I noted was, unless towards the end we got into cross disability, it wasn't a cross disability article at all, but the other about concerns about safety and safer. But the other thing that my first impression was that joining the two together didn't seem appropriate, excepting to say that's why we need the SAFER Act and we've got to do something in the meanwhile. But if you didn't get to that conclusion, it really didn't make sense because it was an article about safety and it's a good thing it's an article about safety and maybe they should do some more. But thinking at the same time didn't really make sense.
Do we have any recommendations that can come out of this article that we want to put forward to the board at the end of the month?
I think it reinforced what we've already put forward, communication for the deaf and the blind community, information, as shuttle buses to people in wheelchairs, and also as we talked about the ambassadors and the travel trainers to people that really don't know what's going on. Fourth of July weekend, we had a lot of tourists in town. And the Arlington Cemetery shut down is an interesting one because on 4th of July a lot of people may want to go to Arlington Cemetery. And I spent a lot of time giving people directions on platforms downtown around Smithsonian, whatever, that had no idea where they were supposed to go and how they were supposed to get there. They were told all sorts of different things from Montfort Plaza and come around through Alexandria to go to Rosslyn and take the shuttle bus from Rosslyn to Arlington Cemetery, which had already had earlier been publicized as a way to get rid of it, and we found out it wasn't there anymore. So I think communication is important, and it's what I always refer to as a universal. It's not just for the disability community, it's for the entire community. They need to know what's going on and where to go. Again, 4th of July, I was impressed at how few extra people were at major stations to help people out when they know where to go. Major stations downtown on the mall. There was usually one station manager, occasionally two. I think we just need to reinforce what we've done before because we are getting some responses, but we're not getting all of them.
Mr. Chair, I have a comment.
Yes, go ahead, sir.
And also after me, I see Philippe and Suzanne also. Yeah, so I will just have Mr. Chair, is that okay? In terms of recommendations for safe track, I think that in the segment about communication, I think that to organize the structure of how they take in and the shadow, because that I did witness was a completely chaos or mess, if I can use that word. I derived the safe track from Largo the other day, early hours in the morning, rush hour to Federal Center Southwest. And usually take 20 minutes, but it took me 1 hour and 45 minutes. Understand the work, I knew about it. But the point is that when I got off a big road on the blue line, I have to get out of the metro and going upstairs to take the shuttle. And here you are with all this crowd waiting for the shuttle. No shuttle was there until 10 or 15 minutes late. But you're supposed to think the first come, first serve, right? You know, there was a lot of people there, and when the first shuttle arrived, everyone was jumping and, you know, running into the shuttle, and all the people were just on the side. So obviously I cannot do that, so I have to step outside of that group of folks. And I did approach one of the managers of and they say, okay, I need to board the bus, so how am I going to do that, et cetera. So to make the long story short, finally I was able to ride the second shuttle, and I got to Easter Market, and after that, getting to the Easter Market metro station, that was a mess as well. Why? Because everyone has to use the smart street tag to go to the metro, even though they were using the shuttle, and they only have 2 gates at the Easter Market metro. So perhaps it's already passed, but this is an example that communication is key. And also how they can organize. Maybe when you are going out to wait for the shuttle, 2 lines, and first home, first serve, et cetera, et cetera. But really that is important because that would save time and also for people with disabilities, you know, it's important to that we can just not be the first one, but, you know, keep that in mind that it would be proactive to avoid so many things. And that is pretty much it. And,
good. Thank you. Okay.
Actually, just to add to Elder, if you think about airlines and Amtrak, they pre-board people with disabilities, people with young children, and whatever. There's no reason you couldn't have a pre-board at those shows.
Oh, well, you can't understand that, sir. Everyone comes to you on unless the authority is right there.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. At Union Station, it's exactly like that. The authorities are there, and they ask for the pre-board, and everybody stands aside.
Yeah. Which is a part of what you said. Now we go to the big one, please.
At any rate, when I read the article, one of the things, when I see a problem, I like to try to conceptualize the solution. And I don't know, are there any programs that train, I know you do the programs to train the first responders to help people with disabilities, or in other people, but to just sit on a train that has a smoke issue or whatever, I'm not suggesting we all jump off the train and try to get out of the station, but is there a way to train the ordinary citizen, on what to do, or at least how to maybe pressure someone with a disability to the part of the train that's, you know, not as...
Well, this has been what we've been trying to do. Much like I've said at the last meeting when it comes to quality, I need all of you to be my eyes and ears and touch and feel and tell me what's happening in the station, because we can inspect one station a day. That means we're going to get back around to it for a while. So I need you to continue to tell me what's happening out there in the system so we can respond to it. Well, it's the same thing. And Dr. Posner, you know, we had our discussions about the safety posters as an example. Let's start with safety posters. And I wouldn't dare sit here and say they're perfect, but if you remember those safety posters before we made those changes, the safety part was very small. A lot of members of the AEC, in fact, told us they couldn't see it because the print was so small because they had to share that space with a map. Well, we removed those maps from the center doors and try to make that safety message and emergency exit message as broad and as visible as possible, not just for people with disabilities, but for all customers. We all have to be brothers and sisters keepers in a situation like that, because you just can't have a metro personnel on every single rail car at every single moment of the system if something may happen. So what we've been trying to do is educate all of us so that people with disabilities know what to do, people without disabilities know what to do, not only for themselves, but for other customers as well.
But a poster is not going to do that. Well, you need something to imagine.
And then we...
And adults learn by doing
And then what we did, we had the safety brochure. And I saw that as, it was around the same time we were changing the posters. Say, let's just look at everything we have. And all of these are, you know, we always brought them to the committee. The safety brochure, it was 2013. First time ever our safety brochure specifically mentioned what to do if you're a customer with a disability and emergency evacuation in the tunnel. And again, these safety brochures are distributed to everybody, not just customers with disabilities. So we're trying to educate and inform all riders in the system so that we all can work together in the event of a situation like that. Now, when we talk about further education, yes, those emergency evacuation procedure drills that is really the key, because that's the closest anyone can get to the reality. And I know, yes, Ms. Bush, she was in the reality, even in the training one time. And believe me, I know the concerns about the waivers and other things, so we've had these full conversations. But the only way at this moment that I can help someone learn firsthand, as opposed to a real life experience, of what to do, not only for themselves in an emergency, but also to help their neighbor, be it a senior, a person with a disability, a child, what have you, all through those emergency exercises. That they're intense, they're as close to reality as we can make them. But again, we're trying to educate all of our customers to all work together. And if we have other ideas, look, we're open. Like I said, we change the posters. If we have to make them better, let's work together. We work together on the posters as they are. But if there are some ways to make it better that the committee feels needs to be strengthened, we're open for it. When we look at the new PIDs, we've been talking about creating a flash so that when an emergency happens in the station, everyone, well not everyone here, but most of us here, can hear that as an emergency. If Brianna can't hear it, maybe the flashing lights will get our attention. But just like on a plane, some of us, how many of us get on a plane and the stewards are talking, we're not paying any attention? Well, that's, you can make an emergency announcement and that can happen. So I think the flashing lights will help all customers. So we're coming up with ideas, we're working with you, but we're open to more ideas on how to improve safety for everyone, but especially those people you're representing.
Okay.
Thank you.
For the CPR trainings and other things, I want to be that person in an emergency who can't help out. So you're telling me that it's 6 o'clock in the morning on Sunday.
Well, in terms of an emergency specific to the rail and the being in the actual situation, yes, because these trainings are being done outside of regular service hours. If there's a chance that Metro will make a decision to perhaps use some revenue service time for one of these trains to accommodate more people, then, you know, you won't have to get up at 6, but you may have to go to Huntington, you know, because that could be another thing. I'm just saying. But we're open to your support. If your CPR train, when we're on that train together, I feel more comfortable with it.
Very good. Thank you, sir. Okay. I'm sorry. Let me go to Suzanne. And then I'm going to yours, and then I'd like to move on.
Okay, so when I read the article, I didn't get all the way through it, but when I read it and I thought about myself and why I'm at times afraid to ride the Metro, it's mostly because a lot of times the intercom and the speaker systems aren't working. So that would be, like, for me, my number one way of getting communication. So when I'm stuck in a tunnel or if I smell something weird, that's how I get my communication. And sometimes it's like muffled, and other times it's not working at all. And that is what makes me feel uncomfortable when I'm riding the Metro.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah, and that's been talked about quite a bit. We're fortunate to have better announcements that I got several thousand shares. Doris, you're up.
Yes.
And we'll have Brianna.
Thank you. I want to get over what Suzanne just given an experience. I lived at the weekend where I wasn't hearing announcements, so they were making some safecraft announcements, and I was actually in the train. It sounded like she was making the announcements using the public restroom on the outside and not on the inside, but whatever it was, it wasn't working. But I also wanted to get over what Mr. Blake said about us all helping each other and having ideas, and in light of that, I have a couple of ideas. One of them is that I think if there's an emergency in the station, something like the lock-on issue or whatever, whether it's stroke or something in the station, I would like to suggest a protocol that gives priority to people using mobility devices and or who have physical disabilities to the use of the elevators to evacuate, and that staff be positioned to make that happen so it can be more efficient, because I noted that in the article.
Yes.
And also,
I want to suggest that perhaps to get the word out about the safety procedures and where things are that are in that brochure, perhaps we should start a campaign, and Mr. Blake, to on some kind of regular basis, sending an electronic copy of that brochure out to disability organizations, asking them to post it on their websites, so that addressing the Medicare system, that we, and the bus system, that we know, you know, that we read the procedures rather than having to worry about just the stations, and I think it's cheap, it's electronic, and also sending it out to outlets like the Washington Gear, so that they could maybe set up a choice on there so that you could read the whole thing. And also maybe even on the county and jurisdiction websites. Those are the things that I'm thinking of.
Thank you, Doris.
I did want to mention, I forgot one thing, and the one thing is very important. The one safety issue that has come up before at these meetings about evacuated stations and such was that when emergency personnel are evacuating the trains, people with mobility devices must give up their own mobility device, or, you know, unless they're sitting on platforms, to ride the evac devices that they have, and then you have to wait some time to get your own device back, and I would think that would slow up any evacuation. So I think we need either to find an alternative to that, and also during the emergency exercises, to make a point of noting how long it takes somebody, given the current procedure, to actually be able to evacuate the station and get back with their own device.
Thank you, Doris. Let's see, Brianna.
Thank you. I'm looking to respond to Ms. Doris's late morning at the first chapter. I serve on the Federal Interagency Council for Emergency Preparedness for People with Disabilities. Very long time ago, but it's a number of federal agencies that participate on the council. As a result of the responses of 9/11 and Hurricane Katrina, where the federal government, Mark and I, acknowledged that people with disabilities were allowed to be evacuated in emergency. So the government, the council, and we appointed FEMA as to be the charge, and Marcy Bob, I don't know if you are familiar with her, but she is the newly established Disability Integration Center office at FEMA. And so, as a result of the council, one of the things that we did was come up with a manual of what to do with people in, with disabilities in emergency situations, how to evacuate. So, like Maureen said, come up with other ways, other than using the evac. And in there, actually, there's a chapter on every type of disability and their needs and how to address it. So I'm going to print it public, it's available, it's free, but it's made by the federal government. I would recommend to contact the FEMA, the Disability Integration Office, Marcy Law, or any of her employees in that office, to get a copy of that manual, and maybe have a discussion with them, because the right here in D.C., the local resource of it in town. So that would be a really great start to put together Metro, since they've already done all the work. And actually, since 2011, they already started a whole network where they actually hired disability integration officers in every state, so that if an emergency situation would ever come
were calling when I was back, so I don't think about that. FEMA was all from local disability education officer, as well as directed the emergency personnel to go on site and immediately heal people with disabilities. They've already been working on them for the last 2 years. It'll be a really great resource, and like I said, they're right here to see stuff.
Thank you. Very good. Didn't know that. Thank you. Donnie?
Well, I almost forgot what I wanted to say.
Did I move the cap?
No. I wonder, in terms of safety and emergency planning and all of that, you know, we've been doing this for years and years, and we've set up legislation and all of that, and we just talk about the same issues over and over. I have an idea, and it's about adopting, you know, a metro station or a bus station as part of the community, and have people volunteer, and then have an actual meeting in the neighborhood or community for that stop or that rail station for, you know, about once a month or something like that. And you can also introduce the people in your neighborhood. You see them every day at the bus stop. That will make people friendly and more aware of the people with disabilities or without disabilities. And I think it would be a good way to get people together, and you don't have to pay them. But I also think that the stations are grossly understaffed in terms of management. They can assist people, period, with or without a disability to navigate their way through the stations and rails. So if we improve on those, because it was heartbreaking in the article that I read that Dennis Butler, who uses his chair, which is operated by his chin, when he catches the elevator, and after the elevator has a problem, he has to wait till another individual decides to use the elevator. He can be there for days.
Thank you. Pat, do you have the last word?
I do. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I thought you don't know what I'm going to. I agree with FEMA. I worked in Montserrat. I know Montserrat very well. She was the executive director when I was National Spinal Cord Injury Association Board of Directors. Now it's USA, United Spinal Association. But FEMA works with a situation, God-made accident like floods and earthquakes and things like that. We are talking about mechanical, like a train accident. Yeah, they work with a plane accident also. But you're right, we could use that procedure, especially my being a wheelchair user, completely disabled to walk. I think I found myself really scared of going to the metro, because if there's an accident or something like happens that we have seen in the paper, I think I'll be the last one to be evacuated, the way the situation is. And that was also mentioned in the articles in the newspaper that I read. I think if there's some statistics available in some way, you see probably riding metro since my accident, which is a couple of decades now. The rider of wheelchair user has decreased in the metro accident because of their scare that they will not get evacuated properly. So thank God they rather not ride the metro rather than take chance. And that's not a very good deal for people with disabilities. Thank you.
Thank you, Pat. Hang on, Bill. We have a member from the audience who would like to speak. Bill, did you have
something? Yes, I wanted to say something.
Okay. This is Larry Hale. Okay. This is Larry Hale. I was just listening to a lot of the things you guys were mentioning about safety, and I tend to be a process person. So, I guess I would ask a few questions. Someone mentioned pre-boarding, and pre-boarding is typically what a lot of transit agencies have done with regard to making sure people with disabilities have been able to board the system. Do we have any policies in place that specifically identify the pre-boarding procedures and what should happen as part of that pre-boarding procedure? From a safety standpoint, what is the policy in terms of how the special warning goes out to the drivers, the station agents, etc. How often or how early does access services get that information? And B, have the station agents been specifically told in terms of what to do? For example, when there's a crowd and you see a person who's in a wheel mobility device and they need to board the bus, before letting anyone board that shuttle bus that's at the front of the line waiting to board customers, giving that wheel mobility device user an opportunity to pre-board. I guess my question simply is, are these policies in place? And is it, are the station agents and other frontline staff reminded of that when the emergency is in place or just before it happens?
All right, so looks like a...
Okay, I just found a few questions. So, and Larry raised a good question, but Dr. Paul, do you have something else?
Yeah, I just wanted to add something to what Kevin said. It's something that we have been... Something that we've been trying to get done for a long time, and that is, if in fact wheelchairs are the last to be evacuated, and on the old signs it used to say, stay with your wheelchair, someone will come get you. For some reason, WMATA insists on putting the wheelchair parking spaces at the center doors of the train. In an evacuation, if everybody is coming out the center door, they're going to be walking over the person in the wheelchair. If the wheelchair person actually gets evacuated, they then will have to walk over the wheelchair. Part of the signage says to open the center door in an emergency, you have to reach up and throw the latch. The only way you can reach that latch, unless you're 6'7", is to stand on the wheelchair person to reach that latch. And I'm glad we do have a board member here, because we brought this up repeatedly, that having the wheelchair parking spaces at the central location under the emergency release for the center doors is dangerous. And I just couldn't help bringing it up yet again after tapping up at this point in the evaluation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ms. Blake, you want to...
So, yeah, I just wanted to quickly respond to a couple of things. The FEMA recommendation, we'll follow up on that. I think we're going to have our safety team come back again, because they're supposed to give you a briefing on the last emergency exercise. And so I believe that would be a great time to talk about any possible coordination with FEMA or incorporation of their ideas that the committee has come up with in the federal government. I'm not the absolute expert on that, but I don't see why we shouldn't have that conversation. In terms of, well, I'll come back to that. I really like the idea of Dr. Station. I've been enjoying that. I'm trying to do that with the whole concept of bus stop improvements. We can say that a stop that is accessible, but there's a temporary construction, a car accident, something just happened, a water main break. And while it's in our database that it's an accessible stop, and we're telling everybody the stop is accessible, well, we don't know, because we're not out there at only 11,000 stops. We will not have the most up-to-date information. So I'd like the people at DOT ask us at the station and call our offices and let us know what's going on out there, because that just helps us keep our information up to date and know where to go next. Back to customers and mobility devices. I'm not going to debate the stats, because I don't have stats to say yes or no. I can say just anecdotally, I'm seeing a lot more and a lot larger wheelchair and mobility devices being requested to use the service, so I feel that's a good thing. But can I agree or disagree? Absolutely, that fewer people or more people with mobility devices use the system. I can't say that right now, but I do hope, one thing I will say, there are things I'm afraid of. So I would never, ever dismiss someone's fear of anything. But I hope as we recognize our personal fears, especially as members of this community, I hope as we recognize our own personal fears, that we're also, as we're speaking publicly about it, and as we're speaking to our friends, we still look at the broader picture, recognize the work we're trying to do together to not necessarily alleviate your fears, must certainly ensure that individuals with Metro, the emergency responders, yourselves, are informed enough, knowledgeable enough, trained enough, so that your worst fear will not come to fruition on the Metro system. But I'm not here to say your fears are unfounded. I am here to say that working together, we want to continue to make the system safer and better for all customers. Now, as far as the center doors, you've been consistent on this. And again, I'm not the absolute expert, so we're not going to resolve this tonight, because we need to have our safety experts say it in a more definitive fashion. But one of the things I've been understanding, center doors, well, there are three doors on every car. Center doors statistically apparently get more people. I mean, it's just, you know, the bell curve, if you will. Well, one theory, this is not the official theory, one theory is, if you're at the center building, again, the evacuation that has been in our new brochure I talked about earlier, it's been in almost everything. If you're in a mobility device, you're probably going to have to leave your mobility device and be reunited with it later. That's just been the safety practice. And if they're going to change that, I think this committee can have a discussion with our safety team about that. But if you're at the center door, I'm a person without a disability and can help you out of your chair and into safety. Perhaps that's one theory as to why they're there. I mean, I'm just telling you theories of what can happen. But the idea has always been mobility devices will be reunited with the owners later. But the notion or the idea, and I don't want to dismiss it because I can't say for sure, but the idea that if you're in a mobility device, or if you just have a disability, we're going to leave you for last and get everybody else. I don't think that's our practice. I don't think that's our philosophy. I don't think that's our policy. But mobility device, yes, but not the individual.
That was on the original poster.
Well, the original, we changed. Well, see, the bottom.
Well, you changed the poster by taking mobility device off the computer so they don't know what's going on.
Well, when we had that conversation in the committee, yeah. Just a reminder, the only reason we had that conversation because, again, I think the original poster said wheelchair.
Yes.
And as the non-conventional mobility devices become more and more non-conventional, we need a language that covers a broader spectrum of vehicles.
Right, and you replace it with baby carriage and luggage.
With everything. That's
how big baby. It says walking devices, baby carriages, and luggage. That's what the poster says.
Yes, sir.
Participate in an emergency exercise. I've done three.
Yes, ma'am.
And people who are ambulatory are escorted off the train, and the people with disabilities, be it deaf, blind, can't move, they are evacuated last. Are you saying that that's not going to happen when there's an emergency? Because that's what has happened all three times that I've participated.
Right, and one of the things we're saying, well, obviously, the first responders can see that you're on a mobility device, but one of the things we said we're going to do the next time, if the man or anyone else who's not in a mobility device participates, because that's what the criticism was, is that we'll deal with the quote-unquote regular customers first and then work with customers with disabilities last. I don't know if that's how the emergency response will be or if that's just how they're practicing emergency response. So you remember, we're supposed to have what we call it, the mystery campaign at the next emergency exercise.
Mr. Chase, I want to say this. I think that needs to be revised because, as Mr. Raj said, during the last exercise which I have done also, we were the last people to be evacuated. I came in the scooter, I was the last one to be evacuated. infatuated, and I did it without a scooter, the same situation. So if that comes from the training, imagine what is going to happen in the real life. So we have to give the real message.
Mr. White, I'm sorry, when the emergency responders were here, they did say, I think it's partly communication between the Metro and like Fairfax County Police or whoever the responder to. Because there is their protocol for triage. That's what they said.
Okay, so I'm going to, Mr. White, I'm going to move it along. We are running behind schedule here. I know that we have a safety briefing coming up. We have a lot of discussion, and I know there's been some discussion from some emergency professionals from D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. They have an awful lot to say, too. So I think that this will be an agenda item for our September meeting. And I think that we'll be able to cover some of these areas a lot more thoroughly then. Thank you. I'd like to go to the quarterly board, executive board update meeting that we had, I think it was. And talk about a few issues, well, at least one issue that came up there, and also a meeting that was held with myself and Barbara Millville and the general manager regarding lighting. There's been a lot of discussion regarding lighting. Barbara, it was really her meeting. I attended as ADC chair. Where we have gone with respect to the lighting project for the last 4 years was discussed, and plans for moving forward were also brought forward. I was asked by a board member to supply an update on where we are regarding the lighting project. I don't know if anyone had questions regarding that report. It was in with the documents that we had to review.
Mr. Chair, this one.
Go ahead, Bill.
It's a great report. The only question I had is, having gone through the capital improvements budgetary process and the regular budgetary process, one of the goals that was presented to the board was that this year, track lighting and wall lighting were going to be priorities. And there was no mention at all in that report that you and Barbara put together about track lighting and wall lighting. And one of the things that I've noticed during the safe track process is the stations I travel on, orange, blue, silver, the track lighting has been very spotty. And one of the things that it's just a general public, not an engineer and not skilled in safety, is if the track lighting is bad, it's no wonder they're missing problems with the insulation and with the switches. They may have headlamps and they may have better lighting on the machines that are going by to do work, but some of the stations, the track lighting is abysmal. At Virginia Square, the entire back end of the station on the track, all those lights are out. I mean, there's about 50 feet of no lights on the track. So I just wondered if they said anything to you and Barbara about what's happening to that priority, track lighting and wall lighting.
No, we didn't get as much of a schedule as I would like. I think that was one of the recommendations that we wanted in the report. Other questions, because I had one question for FY17. Do you have the report there with Phil?
Yeah, I do.
So for FY17, it said we were going to complete lighting designs for center platforms, side platforms, and help pilot projects. So my thinking, and I don't have a dollar figure that associated with the design the lighting designs in these areas, but I was kind of hoping for a little bit more action and a little less design. Mm-hmm. Looks to me like the work is going to be done in FY18. Mm-hmm. What are we spending money on in FY17 that we're not going to be updating lighting? Did I miss something from that report?
The design that they're working on right now is there's a national debate about LED lighting versus fluorescent lighting versus
Right, I understand that.
That's what they're talking about on the design. But in the budget and the presentations to the board that I attended, they were talking about the actual movement on wall lighting and track lighting.
In FY17?
Yes, in 17 and then again in 18. They've got a five-year plan for doing it. So they should be able to give you a schedule.
So in what was presented, what I'm being presented to the board, I'm wondering if we need to add that for FY17.
No, I think that's a good idea. I think one of the problems is Mr. Wiedefeld was in transition during the budget hearings that were going on. And so you met with him, and there's been a turnover on the board, and so there have been different people that have heard everything from day one and others that were in transition. So I think getting an updated report would be a good thing. There also have been some major changes in the people that are handling grant management and other items.
Yeah.
So I think getting an update on where they are now versus what was presented at the original budget hearings and the original plan, because it's in flux.
So I'm wondering if, unless this, and I don't know if Ramona staff has any updates for me, or could update this plan with perhaps more work that's going to be done in FY17. I was a little disappointed with the work that was portrayed in FY17. Understanding what you're saying, Phil, but
no, that's why Mr. Bolger asked you to get that, because Mr. Bolger has been throughout that and has been a really big supporter of the land project. And one of his things is the livables.
Yeah, and I don't see, and that's what, very thank you, Phil, that's what troubles me about FY17. Mr. Blake, I don't know if we can do that, but I have a problem reporting design studies being done in FY17. I don't see any, as Phil would say, deliverables.
Okay, well, I need some more information on the track bed lighting. I think when the report
Good, that's fine. I just want to be able to give a comprehensive, without being overly optimistic, I want to give a comprehensive report when going to the board. And I'm pleased with what I see in FY18.
Let's also be clear that there will continue to be the conclusion of the mezzanine lighting project in this fiscal year, which covers the remaining stations that were term priority.
Right, and there were 39 stations that were completed. I think 39 out of 43, if I have my math right, was that 90%? 51 mezzanines. I don't know how many more mezzanines we have. Hang on, George. Yeah, I see you. So, checking my math, if somebody could, that's about 90% of the stations were done. Same percentage of mezzanines were done?
Mr. Chairman?
Hang on, George.
I started 52 at one of our meetings, so that's why.
Oh, okay.
But I have another comment that's related to everything we're talking about.
Yeah, 51 mezzanines were done in the 39 stations. Right, so you're right. So what I'm trying to figure out, how do I want to discuss this? I mean, 39 out of what, 43 stations? That's good percentage. 51 mezzanines, how many more do we have to do? And that's good, that's good progress. I just want to see a little bit, I'd love to see a little bit more of what's planned to be done in FY17, just starting FY17. I don't want to lose momentum. So, Ms. Blake, you can just email is fine with anything new in FY17. I know we've got two pots that we're working on maintenance and we're working on overall lighting in mezzanines and elsewhere. So, the recommendations I think are good, but if we could put a little more meat on the bones, that'd be great. And is there anybody else have any other information on this that I could?
George?
Go ahead, Doris.
Okay. I read the report. I think it's a good report. I actually noted, as you did, the work effort in 17. So what I wanted to bring forth is also, please correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Blake, that we had at least one, if not two, reports over the time we've been meeting about FY16 and 17, so that in addition to finishing the mezzanine, it was my understanding not only that they would be starting with the backlighting and the track, but the lighting underneath platforms that have an overhanging mezzanine or where there's a level above, which are some of the very, very dark stations. And I thought that that was going to go ahead in 17, and maybe we could find out about that, because it's not in this report. And then the other thing, I do have, Mr. Chair, having read the report, some proofreading editorial things, and for example, the phrase, what is it, aims, so whatever it was in the phrase aim, which I've now forgotten from my mind, I think it should better say focused closely, or focused, making a focus. You'll see it's on there. But under the door to go forward, I wanted to add one, which was this business about the next step. This was the next step thing. Was the business about the lighting underneath the mezzanine, you know, overhangs and stations with floors above the platform. But also, I think it might be a place to add, and in the text about 17, the issue of the backlighting and the tracks. So if that is appropriate and super appropriate, okay. Mr. Chair.
Yeah, we could find some information on that.
But I did mark the copy, except under 17, under the budget and the work, those two items that you noted, but they are related.
Okay, so if we could get any information on that and 17, that would be good. I know that there were three asks, I think, that were in this report, a schedule of monthly lighting maintenance. You know, what that schedule is going to be.
And I'm working on
better lighting at the gate. Hang on. Better lighting at the kiosks and at the fair gates and fair machines. So those are asks. I think those are things we want to see, particularly in FY18. So I don't know if we can get a little better idea of the status of those things. Well, I'd like to give a comprehensive report to the board. So anything more that we can get in those areas would be great. Doris, go ahead.
Oh, I added also, because this is what we requested in our meeting, not just a monthly schedule, but also protocols. In other words, what kinds of things are the most important to maintain first? And because we didn't talk about that, you know, like if the backlighting at Robin, for example, is all lights are out, that should end in and the background is therefore black. I think that's very important. There might be other things that are important, but I think a protocol as well as a schedule.
And the other, I think lastly on my request would be I think that we are probably slightly behind schedule as far as lighting, implementing lighting updates, or at least that's what I've heard. So I think we're slightly behind schedule. If there are certain stations or certain challenges that we have regarding the implementation of lighting, that would be great if I could get those updates too. Don't mind asking. And if I've got If I've got some questions or some ask before the board, that's a good place to do it. I think it's important. I'd love to see stuff get done during safe track, but we'll see what we can do, what we can get. But if we don't ask, we won't get. I'm very pleased with what I've seen so far. I just don't want to lose momentum. Is there any, Ms. Blaine, do you have any other information that hasn't been addressed regarding lighting?
We'll follow up with
it.
Okay. Right. I removed the report if that makes it on the agenda. So I removed the report with the changes that we've talked about. And it's too early to do that.
No, that's good. Do I have a second? Second. Okay. Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? And those abstained? Thank you, Doris. Yes, it's a good report. It's one of our signature projects. So anything else that I can get, I'm very pleased. Other discussion points regarding the whole to the board down with core safe track, which I think we've had a good discussion tonight, and recommendations that have been put forward in the letter that this committee plus rail put together, had those discussions, quite more discussion beyond. We talked about that. What else? And the RFI for paratransit, another item that we are watching and looking and will have discussions on. So that's interesting. As a matter of fact, we'll get to that in a minute, I think. Hang on a second. But I wanted to make sure, Mr. Blake and me, I think I sent over to you a settlement between National Federation of Blind and Mover regarding service animals. I don't know if you had a chance to look at that. I actually read that.
Yes, we got it. And we also received that information from Ms. Rush. So yes, Mr. Chair, we got it.
And my guess is you probably received it from Ms. Rush before you received it from me.
No, Mr. Chair, you sent it first.
That's perfect. Anyway, I think it's important. It's good information. Very well done. Very well documented. We'll see where it goes, but I think in light of discussions that we've had here, that's good to know. There's a lot in there that I can know.
Yes, Mr. Chair?
Would you like to talk to us about administrative processes?
I will go over it quickly because of the essence of time. What I do want to do first is introduce the two new members we have here at the table. They've been speaking out, which has been great, but I did want everyone to know that we have two members that had been appointed. The board appointed those. We have, this is Suzanne Kimmel. She is right next to Paul, to the right. And then to the far end of the same table down by Darnese Bush, we have Mr. Will Shell. So those are the two new members that we have. I want to remind AAC members and the leadership in particular, we're going to have orientation for members next week on the 18th, right after the combined bus, rail, metro, process marathon meeting. So we'll have something directly after that for those members that are new, and of course those members that have been reappointed will definitely want those to participate. So that will be the new member orientation. We have lost another member most recently to the committee. Roger Stanley stepped down from the committee because he had some other prior commitments. So I want members to know that we are working on that process to get an additional member through the process and to the board for approval. So we're hoping that that would be kind of soon. So we're working on that process. I also quickly just want to remind members that with the loss of Roger and the loss of William to the committee, we will need some appointments for the BRS subcommittee. And so we want to share members to please step up and support that particular committee and the role of leadership in that. We're going to have some Metro Access Appeals training coming up, and we'll share that information over the email work plans. It is time to make sure our work plans are strong and the information is included in our work plans and how robust they are for the coming year. So we need to work on those. And of course, the Accessibility Excellence Award is coming up, and I'll share all that information via email.
Thank you, Karen. Thank you. We do have the issue of Bus Rail Subcommittee Chair, as you just indicated. And since we have the Bus Rail / Metro Access meeting next week, I don't know if we can have an interim chair for that meeting or.
I'm not sure, Mr. Chair. Clearly, I've been reaching out to Bus Rail Chair Dr. Miller. I've reached out to him a couple times, and so I'm waiting for him to respond whether or not he'll be able to make the meeting, but we'll make sure in the interim that the meeting is run by someone, and I see Phil is raising his hand to support, so we always like Dr. Posner to step in when he is in town, so thank you, Phil. And so I'll circle back around with him if that's the case prior to the time.
Phil, you think you can handle it?
I love to volunteer for anything, but I understand. So
very good, sir. I think if we don't have, if Brian can't make it, and you can step in, that would be appreciated. That's great. And to the rest of the committee, we've had a chair and the two vice chairs for that committee. And so right now, Brian is the chair of the subcommittee. I could use a couple of people who are interested in bus rail issues. And of course, everything is going on with SafeTrack. That's getting reports firsthand and tracking issues as they come through. I think it's critical. And so think it over. If Bill will step in, but if we need him next week, that's great. We'll be meeting in September. So if we have a little bit of time to think about it, so that's good. Thanks.
We asked for a notice about the mystery rider for the buses to be reissued. Did we get some people to join or volunteer?
Ms. Rush, I have a question about mystery rider. Mystery rider is great for mystery riders and for mystery shoppers, but it's hard for you to be a mystery rider. And it'd be hard for me to be a mystery rider with my mobility devices.
Well, I'm quite clear to be a mystery rider, and Mr. Freeman's just going to be pushing.
No, the purpose of this mystery rider effort is the shuttle bus service that primarily is used by customers using mobility devices when elevator outages take place.
Right.
Okay, so you're not really
using it.
No, we're just really testing the quality of the service.
Okay, I just wondered.
Yes.
You're referring to mystery rider.
Okay.
Everybody knows the issue.
The only difference is mystery is that they don't know that the customers are traveling on behalf of Metro to test their professional
service.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you. Let's see. If I could. Carol, I understand you wish to speak. I don't know. I didn't realize that you were trying to get my attention.
Yes, I'm sorry. I'm going to backtrack for a second. Just say one thing. I don't know whether anybody has got
pictures,
but I have a serious problem with having a disability and knowing that I'm going to be last on the train, on the bus, and I cannot understand. And I wish someone would help me understand why it's so important for me with my disability to be the last one to get on the train. Two reasons for that. One, I have asthma. So that means if everybody's getting off that train by morning, there's a great possibility that I can die. Secondly, why? Because I have a disability that I have to be singled out. Why can I not go when everybody else goes? I'm equal. You understand what I'm saying? I am equal. So if I'm sitting in this wheelchair, I become unequal. And I don't know why anybody in the committee didn't think about that. I mean, Mr. Chair, you can walk out that door. But you understand what I'm saying? And I've seen a lot of times that people with disabilities walk over to the subway. And for me, it is hard going there. But you can go in there and you have, you've done it. But now you're saying to me that, Carolyn, you have to wait till everybody else leaves because you have a disability. So I got a problem with that. Why are we sitting going for that? Why do we have to be asked? Why can't, you know, according to the disability or the available to take me out, why can't I go out with everybody else?
So, thank you, Carolyn. And, you know, regardless of whether it's a wheelchair, you get taken out last, or I'm in the car and someone decides to speak to the sighted person who's with me because I'm invisible, or I actually did get taken, I think last, whatever, last time, it's the same feeling, same answers. The people that I spoke to who are the emergency management experts have a lot of thoughts regarding where we are in emergency preparedness. And a lot of it is very complimentary. Typically when we've looked over and we've done these exercises for the last 3 or 4 years, I don't know how much progress we've made, particularly in dealing with people with disabilities. So it's one of the conclusions I think that come up. That's the negative. The positive is that they are willing to share their knowledge, their expertise, and they want to give uniform training and access throughout the region. And that's a positive. So, we're looking forward to the joint meeting in September. The recommendations that these three individuals who are the experts from Maryland, Virginia, and D.C. have come up with have been reported back to Vermont, and I'm hoping that they'll make a difference. Carolyn, the other, what you mentioned, is an issue, and that's something, that's why I think we need to have this on the agenda again in September. Now I have invited, and hopefully Chairman Jack Evans will be here and be able to talk to us regarding his thoughts regarding Safe Track, where we are with the system and all. He spoke to the RAC a few months ago, gave a wonderful speech, which I thought was very powerful. So I'm hoping everyone here gets a chance to listen to him, and he gets a chance, more importantly, to hear to see this group and its potential and how we can contribute. So hopefully that'll be on the agenda in September. And we'll be able to take care of that. That'll be good.
We're working through those, Mr. Chairman.
Right. As soon as we can get them in, that would be good. Thank you very much. Thank you, Carolyn.
Doris.
Oh, thank you. Okay, Doris, very quickly, I'm running out of time here.
Yes, this is on the administrative process item. Mr. Chairman, it concerns me that on July 1, we got notice of the rescheduling of the various meetings. I'm here tonight only because the meeting that I would be going to in Fairfax is not happening in July. But next week, you know, the notice that we got said, okay, next week we're going to double up on central access and plus ramp. But it also includes the orientation, which the email said if you were reappointed or if you are a new appointee, then you're expected to attend. But, I think that the decision about rescheduling should have been taken in advance so that we'd be able to, by consensus, agree on a date, because on that date, I already have something scheduled out in the community with somebody, and I have to go to Richmond the next day. And so, it makes it very, very, very difficult.
Previously, Patrick had said he was
not going to be here in July, and...
Yes, I'm aware.
And the second chair said he was not going to be here in July. My daughter was in intensive care, and so I couldn't come to the meeting. I'm always at the meetings. So I was the cause of there not being any leadership, and I'm sorry that my daughter was in intensive care, and you have a meeting that you have to go to.
But so there was a third person.
My point is not that it got, we could have canceled it altogether.
But the orientation is something different. The orientation.
We cannot keep canceling when we don't have any meetings in August. Cancel to what? To accommodate your meeting? That we can't. We can't do it in August, so we cancel it in August.
I kind of got Robert's rules of order about scheduling meetings.
Okay,
you
so.
What? What did you say?
I said Robert's rules of order, and that the body, if a meeting is postponed or is canceled, has the privilege of coming to consensus on agreement about when the next meeting is going to be, and most of the bodies
are and you are one that could not come. We're sorry that you will not be there next week, but we are
it's
having the meeting.
That means I have to cancel what I'm doing.
Okay. Well, I think we had, let me just say something. I think we had some extraordinary circumstances. Frankly, I will say I'm very pleased to see Denise here. I didn't really expect her to be here. And so it was decided very much at the last minute that we would hold this meeting tonight. I think I heard about it last Friday. Eller was not available. Denise had said she would run the meeting because of situations in her family. She couldn't do it. So this is the best we could do for right now. I appreciate the committee's indulgence on this. I think we're doing fine. I think we've gotten off to a good start. Appreciate the members who are here tonight. So kudos to all of you. Next week, we'll just work Paul and Brian very hard. B, did you say there's an orientation? What is that orientation? Is it next?
Next week.
No, hang on, Doris. Hang on.
Orientation is next week after the two.
What is the date on that?
It's the 18th, Mr. Chair, and that is really for just new members.
Right.
And those that had been reappointed. Those members that are mandatory is really the leadership. But again, it is just for new members and those members that had been reappointed.
And I was reappointed.
No, Doris, you were not reappointed on this vote round, Doris.
What? Yeah, you were actually, I think there's still, you were one of the reappointed members.
I was informed. I think she was reappointed.
She was?
She was. I think she was. We have to at the meeting.
Oh, okay.
Well, then, okay.
My guess would be, Doris, that as far as, and did any training as far as process and procedures and what we do, you probably could teach the course.
Yes.
You don't have to. Now, Bill, on the other hand, probably needs a refresher course.
Mr. Chair, I would point out that the last 2 years, we've had orientation following the bus rail committee meeting, and that next Monday was going to be Metro Access meeting, so we were scheduled for a 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock meeting next Monday. And the only change was that we were going to have orientation following one of those meetings, which we've done the last several years. So there, you followed format. There was nothing new, there was nothing special.
Very good. Okay, let me move on because we've got some other items if we can. Thank you very much. I think I need to jump to Paul with mental access. Go ahead, Paul. You wanted to talk to us about the letter?
Yes. So at the request of the mental access subcommittee meeting,
some time ago, they want to have an official position with the AAC about summation of all the discussions about the proposed Maryland Mobility's Ride. So, working with staff and working with hearing the comments of the subcommittee members and the public, this document was crafted, of course, subject to the AAC approval up to the board to be approved. So, I'm going to read it out so everyone can hear it. So, it's the date of July 18th, 2016. Dear Chair Evans and members of the board, the Washington Metropolitan Area Authority, Metro serves as the region's premier paratransit provider, Metro Access. In keeping with the intent of the American with Disabilities Act, ADA, in parentheses, for paratransit services, such services function as a safety net for people with disabilities who are unable to mainstream into the fixed route system for all or some of their travel needs. Metro is pursuing the development of a new alternative service for customers eligible for Metro Access with the use of transportation network companies, TNC, known as Ability Ride. The Accessibility Advisory Committee, AAC, believes in safe, accessible, and sustainable public transportation for all customers, including those with disabilities. The AAC supports Metro's objectives to sustain the Metro Access service. The AAC has reviewed and discussed the Ability Ride proposal and makes the following recommendations related to accessibility, reliability, and safety. Point one is communication. The proposal states that the use of web-based applications for making reservations. Many customers with disabilities and seniors encounter barriers with cellular technology computers. Some customers do not have access to technology, while those that have it are limited in their use of automation. Additionally, some customers with disabilities cannot navigate web-based applications due to the limitations of their disability. The AAC believes that accessibility to all will require reservations to be made through means that do not require a cellular or computer technology only. Therefore, AAC recommends the proposal includes a telephone option with a reservations. Second point is commuter patterns. The proposal lists a daily limit for the number of trips that can be taken for travel. Trip limits are not conducive to how people travel today. People with disabilities are interested in having the same level of access to quality of life as their non-disabled peers. A limit on trips would diminish that option. The AAC recommends that there be no restrictions on travel or trip purpose. The next major point is fleet accommodations. The proposal does not require the TNC to have a comparable fleet of accessible vehicles. It only requires that there be a small number of accessible vehicles. As the population ages, accessible vehicles are critical for customers with mobility devices to travel safely, with or without security. The AAC agrees with Metro's position to incentivize providers to increase the availability of wheelchair accessible vehicles to improve a customer's chances of getting business. The AAC recommends that at the time the contract is established, that services be equivalent to the taxi service supporting Metro Access. Cost and payments, fourth point. The fixed price for services is appealing to many customers. However, there does not appear to be equal access to payment. Currently, the TNCs require a credit card for payment of services. Many customers with disabilities and seniors are in bank and use cash as the only means of payment. The AAC recommends that Metro uses a pay-in-car option, which affords quality of access for all customers. Additionally, many areas have public or private roadways for which a fee or toll is assessed for passage. The proposal is unclear as to how these kinds of fees will be paid, aka known as the ICC is one of those requirements. Safety is the last piece. The proposal does not specify the safety and security standards for TNC providers. Other providers of alternative transportation options to paratransit service have standards that include security cameras, trained personnel, as well as the requirement of clean background checks and driver records. Additionally, some offer amenities such as door-to-door service.
the AEC recommends that Metro standards and service amenities be extended to the Billy Wright's proposal to ensure the safety of all customers using the service. In summation, the AEC appreciates the opportunity to share its recommendations on the Billy Wright's proposal. These recommendations will ensure that high standard of service is available and usable by all customers.
Very good. Could I have that report moved?
I'd like to make a move, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Feel great.
Discussion?
Discussion. Go ahead, Doris.
Okay.
No.
I would like to see certain changes made to it, and we've only heard it here. One is to take out the word safety net and put that mental access is a right, civil right, granted under the ADA for those who cannot ride fixed route some or all of the time, because that's what it is. And secondly, we have discussed at the various meetings and discussions on this, and some of us feel very strongly about this, I understand it's now called app-based service, so we want to use that rather than she and she's, but that's fact, that's correct. But the big thing is that I think there needs to be language in here that says that we recommend that as ADA paratransit, which Metro Access is required to meet certain performance and comparability standards under the Americans with Disabilities Act, that any app-based or TNC service that is going to be solicited by OMATA must comply with ADA Title II and the ADA Title II ADA paratransit requirements for performance and comparability.
Okay, thank you, Doris. We'll be able to get those changes in. Doris, you're not recognized. Carolyn, you're recognized.
Number one, no disrespect to anything anyone, but we have been told 1,000 times this is an alternative form of transportation. Alternative. This is not metro access. And we've discussed this many times. Some of the things that metro access, now I agree wholeheartedly there should be some banks. I agree wholeheartedly that there should be an offset for persons who don't have smartphones. And you've heard me say it before, so they would have a call center. But this is not metro access. And we're not going to get everything we want. You know I've been fighting this. And I am well aware that you give to get. One of the things is that we are going to get, and I hope and I'm praying that when the powers that be look at this, they will say, well, you know, that makes sense. We need to have a call center. So that somebody who doesn't have old people don't have smartphones. That's number one. I think they're going to give us that.
Can I just say, go ahead.
But this is first street. That's all
first street.
But I
want to
hear what this is.
Just real quick, we have 5 minutes. I can't give you everything tonight to what's going to be going on, but we have listened to you. We've listened to the community. You remember when I first proposed this idea, I said we're going to have one company, and we'll go from there and work it out. Well, we're going to have to
work. That's right.
And most likely, one of the companies will likely have a telephone option, most likely. Another company, or one of the companies will also probably have a credit card payment option.
That's right.
So we have listened to the AAC. We're going to be coming out to you with the proposal. We're going to have the pre-proposal meeting. And I think you're going to be pleased from where we began with my original proposal to where we're going. But I would also say, and I just want to echo what Ms. Melanie is saying, and I'm not here to disagree with anybody, but no, we, Metro Access, per the ADA, this is not us making it up, but Chris Blake making it up, Metro Access and other paratransit services are in fact safety nets. That's what the NEA says. So what I'm trying to do, not only with Abilities Ride, and I hope you all keep an open mind to things like microtransit and other ideas that are going to be coming following this. This isn't the first one, as you know. We've been doing this in D.C. We've done something in Maryland, and I'm going to come back to you with something else pretty soon as well. What we're trying to do is give you as many, give people with disabilities as many options as possible. So this cannot be the end all be all. It can't be perfect, but we have listened to you, and I hope, I won't say you will be, but I hope you'll be pleasantly pleased for the changes we've made after listening to you.
Thank you. Sorry, wait, hang on. Question. I need to understand something first. Your RFP or pre-meetings, whatever, any idea when they will be?
Most likely August, September time frame.
Okay, so that helps me here. Carolyn, I'll recommend you in a second.
Okay.
What are we going to do with our recommendations? I don't want our recommendations to come out after the RFP's out there. That doesn't make sense. Yes. Carol, go ahead.
All right. My only concern, one of the concerns, I still say that we have companies right here in the District of Columbia. We have companies in Maryland, and we should go to them also and stop taking our business outside the area. People know where we are. They've been doing this a long time.
So that,
I hope that's been mentioned.
Thank you, Carolyn. Bill Orleans, and then I would like to go to the committee. Decide what to do with our reference. Hang on a second. Doris. 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 You're not recognized. Bill Orleans.
I just wanted to suggest that, while I don't disagree with anything that was in the letter that was read by Paul, it's something to me who Wintall drafted it, and I think it's premature in that schedule for delivery to the Access Subcommittee next week is the Access Department's recommendations for the committee to consider and comment upon. So sending out a letter as of prior to receiving those recommendations that they come up with, I think is premature. And later on, I look forward to Paul explaining to me who, with him, drafted this letter.
Thank you. Okay. These letters, this use actually integrated from all the customer comments in the minutes. That's where all this came from. So this came from AAC members and customers during their discussions.
Over the last 7 months, well.
Yeah, over the last 3-4 months. I just took all of this.
Started January.
Yeah. That took all of people's comments, put it, dropped it into these big five areas. So that's what I'm integrating.
Okay, very quickly. Thank you all. Very quickly, George, you might recognize now.
Yes, I wanted to say that even if it isn't metro access, any project or contractor with WMATA and through WMATA receiving subsidy from the jurisdictions is entitled to contractor. So it is appropriate to put the issue of ADA compliance into the letter. And I'll take back the eliminating the safety net business, the safety net wording, but I think it's really important to include those aspects because not only I, but other committee members and members of the audience have brought the attention that the contractor of WMATA and the jurisdictions that would be under the ADA, and I agree with Mr. Crawford also that it is premature.
Okay, excellent. Other additions to the letter as proposed?
Jurisdictions here.
What's that?
Remember I mentioned that they use on the pool that is here.
That is here, right.
Maryland, Virginia, D.C.
Paul, you have the suggestions that we've made so far?
Yes.
Okay. So, those can be incorporated into the draft?
Yes.
All right. So, we have an amended letter, which is on the floor right now for discussion, moved and seconded. Would someone like to propose that we move the letter forward as amended?
Yes.
Yes.
Excellent. All right. We've had that for seconds. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Those abstain. Paul, yes, minority, you abstain. Yes. Paul,
yes.
You did a bunch of that writing?
That was, there we go. Majority of the writing is all from the customers.
Very nicely done, Paul. Very, very, very nicely done. Very
with minimal assistance from Metro staff.
That, I think that was excellent document. I agree with what? I agree with Doris's inclusion of ADA into that because that came up several times. But extremely well done, Paul. That was a lot of nice, good hard work. Doris, quickly, because I'd like to.
I just like to say in the minutes, I'd like to say that I abstain only because I agree with Mr. Crawford.
Good. Excellent. And agree with Mr. Crawford is a good thing to do, even though he played hooky from this meeting tonight. I don't know if Ms. Carol Comedy is still here.
Yes.
Is she here?
Okay. Yes.
Would you like to say hello, even though I was attendance late getting here?
I'll say hello, but I'm really just here to listen. I've enjoyed the comments, enjoyed the meeting, and I learned a lot, so yes. I'll be back.
Good. Thank you very much for coming. We appreciate that. It's a spirited group with lots of ideas and back and forth, and these folks give you a very good product.
I can see it's
very proud of them. Yes, Pat?
Just one procedure-wise. Now that we have amended this letter and we are voting on this, now when the proposal is finalized and input comes from the marker, do we have another chance to see it and make our comments again?
I think, I'm not a procurement expert, Pat, but I would imagine that
we're going to have a discussion. We're going to have the pre-bid conference and discussion. But in terms of the AAC seeing it before anyone else, we don't think that's going to
apply to the conference. We won't see the RFP, right? But we will be invited to the pre-bid conference, right, which will allow us to have to at least, and I'm not sure how this is going to be done this time, but when I attended the last one about 10 years ago, I think it was, I was able to ask questions. They were able to ask me questions. Look at a lot of the back and forth. It's probably as close as we're going to get to people who will be bidding, and we will be able to ask and listen to proposals and questions.
So we will have a chance to also change anything we feel that is appropriate for our needs.
Yeah.
Let me be clear. I don't think at that point there'll be a change in the RFP, but here's how you look at it.
Let me ask this question.
Yes, sir.
Is the pre-bid conference following the RFP going on straight
finally? Yes.
Okay, so once the RFP goes out.
That's a public document.
Right, you're right. But once it's out, it's out. Allowing for us to listen to the questions and answers in the pre-bid conference,
right,
I think is important. Yes. Because even though the RFP will be out on the street, their responses back to the RFP won't have come in yet.
And keep in mind, if the companies that are trying to get this business hear what the customers they're going to be serving need,
oh, yeah,
they're going to listen and they're going to make adjustments when they can because it's to their advantage to provide you the service.
Right. Yeah. So I appreciate that. That is only the second time in 25 years that we've seen something like that. So that's good. Okay. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I am.
One quick question, Mr. Sheehan.
Oh.
I asked this question on the bid that went out from the Manager Access Service, and I'll ask it for this one. There are several bullet points that are made by this committee. there will be certain things in the RFP. When procurement makes their final decision, are they going to have a point rating for individual points and give out the contract based upon total points? Or are they going to be all or nothing, or are they going to make classifications?
Well, you're asking, are we going to select the vendors based on just price and the lowest bid, or are we going to give award, points awarded based on their responses to various aspects? That's important to what you want to ask.
Exactly. And the answer to that question, but I think it has to be asked since off the procurement, since the federal government has been on our procurement process for the last several years. And if it's a good procurement process, I mean, it was such a procurement all the time. I think they need to have points, and it's got to be more than a little bit.
That's right.
Yeah, well, yeah, I've done that before too, and you want, I don't know how they say it here, VAs, that's value. I'm sure the procurement people have that. Hopefully we have that in line. Okay, we have bus rail, which I'm going to that table that before. We have a bus rail. And we have both business, new business, which I guess we don't have any. So motion to adjourn is on the floor. Do I have a second?
Second.
So any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. We'll see everybody in September.